Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today I'm joined by Brandon Williams. We're going to talk about the word equipped as we see it in the scripture and all the different ways that it plays out in the life of our church. So I hope this is a helpful conversation that you get to join in with us. What's going on?
Man, just excited. Excited about what God's doing in our church. New year, seeing a lot of new faces show up. Going through the 21 days of fasting and prayer, already seeing God do really cool stuff. Just excited to see how even just this first month of the year wraps up. I think we're on the verge of seeing God do some pretty incredible stuff.
I agree, and I think even I think it's important for us to talk about, because I think that this has to do with the word that we're thinking through with equipped,
right?
Where there are some things that are, as people are experiencing it, it feels like things are breaking.
Yes.
I can think of a few instances of the old version of a marriage dying,
mm-hmm.
but it's in preparation for things being mended and actually repaired.
Right.
Right. And so I think of people that are coming to the end of their addiction.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that has to be identified as broken, so that it can be mended and repaired. That's for our audience. That's all in reference to the word equipping as we see it in the Bible, and we'll look at a few of those scriptures. And so my hope today, what I wanted to do, I was thinking about, hopefully, as we begin to grow our audience, we're welcoming new people into this conversation that we're having, is that we go back a little bit, and I thought it would be fun to think about and share with people what was on your heart when you hired me to direct the equipping area, and as you were wanting to sort of, I think in a lot of ways, rebrand the concept of discipleship in the life of our church, and kind of what led you to that point, and then just maybe give some of the behind the scenes of how I experienced some of that, and what we, a lot of it's just going to be sort of a story of things I tried that didn't work.
Yeah.
Go through a few of those things, and then kind of where we're at today. But then also we'll look at the maybe even some of the Greek words for the word equipped, mm-hmm. and make some of those connections, and then maybe how do these things apply going into the future? And so that would be, so let's start maybe back at the beginning. So when you, our mission statement, right, is we want to connect, equip, and send God's people.
Yeah.
And so there's, if we're going to make that sort of the central portion of our mission, like that when you changed it to that language, I think that'd be helpful to know. Like what, at one point in time, the mission statement of our church was we want to connect unbelievers to God and believers to each other.
But that was and that's where a lot of times we stop. But the actual whole mission statement was to connect unbelievers to God and believers to each other through the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry.
Gotcha.
And so the equipping aspect has always been the at the core of who we are. In fact, the original vision document that I wrote, it talks a lot about how the Sunday morning would function somewhat as a facade of the church, because everybody in the South thinks that church is I'm going to a place instead of it being people. And so the goal was always that people would come to what they thought was a coming to church, a place, they would experience the power of God, and then we would introduce them to the church, the people.
Right.
And so even in that original vision document that was written in 2008, it's really clear that the success of our ministry would never be determined by how many people were in the seats.
Yeah.
It would be determined by how many people were in connect groups. Mm. And, you know, and that's been over 17 years ago now. And so you learn a lot in 17 years. And so for sure, our understanding of equipping, our understanding of what God desires in it, has certainly grown tremendously over those years. And now I look at where we're at, don't know everything, but we know a lot more than we did. And we've really worked hard as a staff, as a and elders and the folks who are core leaders in our church, to get out of a system of church that basically doesn't work. Yeah. And, you know, the church is the only organization, and I think we can call it an organization. It's organized. It's got people in it. And you look at it, and it's the only organization in the world that will continue to do things that don't work.
And call it faithfulness.
Call it faithfulness and call it, or just say, this is just how we've always done it. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to keep. And so that didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, how do we get out of this system that's obviously broken and it's not working? Nobody else would take a loss on their investment. Mm-hmm. And we were seeing growth, mm-hmm. but we just knew, like, this is not God's design mm-hmm. for the church. And our heart has been to get into God's design because that's what honors God. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think we're a lot closer to that now than we've ever been. And I believe God's honoring that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when I got here, you were already probably a whole year into teaching through getting out of the broken system.
Sure.
And maybe even longer. That's just the number that jumps into my head.
Sure.
You could have been teaching through it longer, but like, I remember like we were already, you know, that, and at that point, so that would have been 10 years into the life of the church. Uh-huh. And so, you were steadfastly, faithfully trying to not allow the church to settle for less than the biblical model of church.
Yeah.
And we're still continuing to move more and more in that direction. That's so funny you said that about like we usually stop there. And it's almost like it was more convenient for like a host moment or convenient for like, you know, a t-shirt or something.
Yeah, it's memorable, right? And of course, I mean, every leadership thing, you're supposed to be able to write it on the back of a business card or on a napkin at lunch or, you know, and everybody's supposed to be able to remember it. And so when you look at it, you know, to connect unbelievers to God and believers to each other through the equipment of the saints for the work of ministry, I mean, it's a little bit more, mm. you know. And so it was just easier for people to remember whether we said it consistently or not, it was just easier for people to remember connecting unbelievers to God and believers to each other. And so, but it's always been to equip.
Yeah.
Like, and I knew from my own experience and from Scripture that community was essential. Mm-hmm. And so we needed the community. We needed the equipping. You know, I was talking with this is what amazes me. I was talking with a friend of mine who was in the military for over 20 years, and we were talking about the urgency to equip God's people, almost like God is raising up an army right now to take ground for His kingdom. Obviously, not physically,
right.
but in a spiritual sense. And we were talking about the urgency of doing that. And I said, you know, it would be like we don't want to send a soldier into war without being trained to fight. And he goes, you know, a soldier, from the time he steps foot into boot camp to the time he is sent into battle is 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, that is a short period of time to go from some people never shooting a rifle to we're about to drop you in here and let you go take that mountain.
I wonder if that number is still the same.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and so when I look at that, though, you know, 6 weeks to be equipped to go fight for your life and for the lives of those around you, but we have Christians who've been sitting in church for 20 years, and they still can't share the gospel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, something's broken there, and it needs to be fixed. And so I think that's really the heart behind a lot of it is how do we get people, get movement, because if we're just doing something that's pastor centric or even staff centric, it's cheating people, and more than that, it's cheating God. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be glorified the way he should be because the church isn't functioning the way it's designed to function. It's cheating the handful of people that the whole church is resting on. That's not fair to them to carry that weight. They weren't meant to do that. It's cheating the people because they're not getting to participate in the life of the church. They're not fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. They weren't created to be consumers. They were created to be equipped and contribute to the kingdom of God with unique giftings. And when I look at that, like, that's where the motivation for us, let's get out of this.
Yeah.
Let's move forward with something that's actually biblical and works.
I was just curious. I looked it up. There's 168 hours in a week, and if in boot camp from you enlist until you're deployed, that's 6 weeks. So that's 1,008 hours.
Yeah.
And for basic training, it's full immersion, right? So that's you get your 1,000 hours in, basically, and
you're gone.
And then I think, to that point, like, we're not talking about, I think it's a fair equivalent. It's, can you hold a rifle, hold formation, follow orders, shoot the bad guy?
Yeah.
And, like,
are you asking, like, could I do?
I know you could.
I was just.
I think you killed two or three bad guys last night. So, wait, is this thing on? I think to your point of, like, because I've wrestled with this question before of thinking about it with people, because the consist, and sometimes I think it's sincere. I have like four thoughts that all just got into a car wreck together. But I think about people, and a consistent thing I hear from well-meaning people in the life of the church is, I just don't feel ready.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Yeah. What does readiness mean, and what's the goal of readiness? Yeah. And how ready is ready enough? And I think a lot of times it's from a well-meaning place of humility, of like, I don't want to just assume that I got it all together or that I'm the most fully prepared. It is interesting of like, okay, if we take the upper extreme of readiness as the 12, they spent 3 years with the actual person of Jesus, plus some time after the resurrection where he has to go back and redo the whole thing again. And they go out, and they still don't always get it right.
And I think, though, the difference in the 3 years is, and even after the resurrection, is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They did not have the Holy Spirit, and we do.
That's right.
And I think that is the biggest difference. You know, they were still scared, hiding everything, even after seeing Jesus resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until the coming of the Holy Spirit that boldness came. That was their readiness.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Paul's life from the first letter that he wrote. A lot of people think it's 1 Thessalonians. A lot of people would say it maybe have been Galatians. But you look at that, and you look at the last letter he wrote, 2 Timothy, and look how much he grew.
Mm.
How ready was Paul when he started? And I guess one thought I have on readiness is, what are we ever really ready for in life? When are we ever really ready to get married?
Mm-hmm.
Like, other than the people out there shacking up, like, you move in together and you're like, yeah.
It's funny, the people that are playing marriage are the least ready.
Yeah.
The ones that are so hesitant about it, probably a great candidate.
Yeah. I mean, it's just different. Like, you know, you walk in to brush your teeth and your wife's on the toilet. Yeah, it's just different. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you might want to edit that, Tyler. But it's just a different thing. Like, are you ready for real life together? Are you ready to have a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to leave home and go to college?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to get your first job when you walk in the first day? You know?
It's almost like, to your point about the Holy Spirit, it's almost like the point is we aren't ready.
Yeah.
But he is.
Yeah.
But the Spirit is ready.
Yeah.
And
so I think with that, it's like, you're never going to be like, I got this. Mm-hmm. And you really don't want to be, mm-hmm. you know. So being equipped is always a work in process.
I think we should go back and look at that. I taught this at a student camp I spoke at over the weekend. We were looking at Acts 1 and then Acts 2, and we were looking at the theme of the camp was like fire. And so one of the texts was like the tongues of fire mm-hmm. over the disciples. But to your point of like readiness, like the last question they ask before Jesus ascends into heaven is an absolute boneheaded question. Hey, Jesus, is it now that yeah. you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Like after all of this, they're still like, so when are we going to start like kicking butt and taking names here? Like yeah. when is this? And he's like, it's not for you to know times or seasons, but you will receive power.
Yeah.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And then they do that. And that's what I talked about at the camp of like, how does God seek to change the world? By giving those who have called on the name of Jesus his spirit.
Exactly.
And then they go out and obey. Yeah. And they proclaim with that. That's the point of the spirit. The spirit gives us the ability to go out and proclaim. Mm-hmm. To know him rightly, so many things, right? But
yeah.
that's where we see that in Acts 1 and Acts 2, and which leads us to sort of the Acts 2, 42 through 47 that we look at a lot of like the connecting aspect, the yeah. community, the small groups, and we look at that and talk about it all the time. All of our connection churches do, but we talk about when we're talking about readiness, what. And you talk about the biblical model, we're talking about Ephesians 4, right? And so...
Yeah, a lot of it is taken from there, I believe. That's a good starting place.
Right.
Sure.
And so when Brandon is talking about this of like the expectation that it shouldn't rest on just a few individuals, it shouldn't rest on the staff, on the pastors, we're looking at Ephesians 4, really verse 11 and 12, but there's more to it that we could look in the context of that, but let's just look at that for the sake of time. And he, being God, God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints. I like that. The CSB says training. That's the word for equip. That's the word for that when we're talking about to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And so there's a Greek word that goes along with this. If you went and looked at it, though, it kind of, what we've boiled it down to, what Brandon has helped us as a church to understand that there's sort of three dimensions to that word, that there's three ways that we could think about that, and I think, let me talk about that for just a second, and I want to come back to sort of, when I got hired here, some of the things that we talked about and discussed, there was the three sort of dimensions, right? In Greek is different. I'm probably just a common example is the idea of love. There's four different Greek words for love, where we have one English word.
Right.
Well, we have one English word, equip, and there's other words, train, mend and repair. Mm-hmm. But in Greek, there's this sort of one word of katartizo, and it has three different references. It has mend and repair, and we see that in the book of Matthew where it says they were with their father, James and John, Peter, James, and John, and they were mending their nets. So that mending, that repairing, that is in reference to, it's the same Greek word. There's another one that is to be fully trained. We see this in the Gospel of Luke, and I think that's probably what's in view here with Ephesians 4. In Luke 6, verse 40, but everyone after he has been fully trained, it's still, there's the same Greek root word, somebody to be perfected or fully trained, fully equipped. But then we have another one, which is more in the Old Testament of like laying a foundation. When they laid the foundation of the temple. And so the way we sort of deployed that in the equipping area is that there's some things where we have to lay a biblical foundation in the lives of people. So those who have been the connecting unbelievers to God and then believers to each other. Second half of the phrase, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, or by equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Part of that equipping is laying a biblical foundation. Another is figuring out things that have been broken inside of them and mending and restoring those things. And then, what am I missing? I left something out.
So you got the practical training, biblical practical foundation, training. And the mending and restoring, repairing. And I will say, the first time I was introduced to those thoughts was through a book by Greg Ogden.
Yeah.
And so this didn't really originate with me, but it resonated with me.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we, you know, really grabbed hold of that. And as we looked at it, it just makes sense. And so for people to reach fullness, which is another way that word's interpreted, or to be perfected in a sense, when we look at that, those three things really do have to take place. There has to be a mending and restoring aspect. All of us have things that are broken inside of us that need to be mended and restored, healed. There has to be a biblical foundation. We need something sure to stand on. We need to know the word of God and build our life upon it. And there needs to be the practical training. How do I actually go do the work of ministry? And so those three things really make up a picture of fullness, wholeness, maturity in Christ that we want to see people get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that kind of, I wanted to make it more of the story, bring that kind of aspect of it. So for me, I was just a lost college student, and some guys from my hometown, a lot of our folks are familiar with us, Billy Shiver and Buck, started inviting me around to their small group. I thought they were just basically just inviting me to hang out, and they're going to kind of read the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And just through that, through looking at the book of Romans, I didn't realize I was in a connect group. But we started studying the book of Romans. By the end of it, I understood. I am a sinner that's disconnected from God. So they walked through the whole thing, right? They connected me as an unbeliever to God and helped me get connected to other believers that changed my life. Yeah. And then I've been in this process of being equipped. And I just fell in love with ministry and started hanging out around the church a lot more. But when I got hired here, I thought it was fascinating. Like, there was this sort of, I kind of recognized it, but you said it very plainly of like, this whole like discipleship word has gotten misunderstood.
Yes.
Like, discipleship was this idea of like sitting with a person at a coffee shop and just reading theology, or it carried the sort of air of elitism, and there was something that's like, I want to get away from that word.
Yeah.
And I thought the sort of more holistic understanding of equipping really resonated of like, mm-hmm. There's some things, it doesn't really matter how much I pour into your head. You've got things that are just still broken in your heart.
Right.
You've got relationships that you are wounded by. Mm-hmm. You've got family circumstances that you're wounded by. Like, there doesn't matter how much you know. You're still going to be broken relationally. Yeah. Or there's going to be things that, like, you just don't have you actually need the meat and potatoes practical training.
Yeah.
And you need to put the book down.
Right.
You know? And so talk about that for just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, discipleship, that word began to just annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, because of what I saw it, how it was played out and portrayed. And so, because discipleship was typically, you know, the stereotypical sitting at the coffee shop talking about deep things, which usually deep means just hard to understand, and not practical or mending, restoring, or even equipping. And that's fine, like, to sit around and talk about things that are interesting to you. But we can't just lump all discipleship into that.
Right.
And that it used to just annoy me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get away from it.
Seemed like the people that were the deepest in that world were the most useless to other people.
Yeah, and even turning people off, you know, because of their elitism. And so, it really made me begin to search, like, there's got to be something that God's got that's different, better, more effective.
Surely this isn't what you meant by this, go and make disciples of all
nations. And when I looked at Jesus with his disciples, that's not what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm looking at that. They weren't just sitting around talking, you know.
That's what the signs are, right? He's casting out demons. Yeah. Like, they got to be set free from bondage before they can practically follow Jesus with their hands.
And then, you know, and you see all the mending and restoring he's doing with them. I mean, you look at the whole Sermon on the Mount. The whole Sermon on the Mount is mending and restoring. Mm-hmm. If you look at that, and how many times does Jesus say, you have heard it said, but truly I tell you. Mm-hmm. What's he doing? He is taking literally telling them, look, you've thought this way all your life, but I'm telling you, think this way.
Yeah.
And that is renewing minds, but it's also mending and repairing. It's restoring.
And what's an example of that today? Like, what's an example? Like, when you sit down with people, or a common misconception that you're like, you think it's this way, but I tell you it's this way. Like, what's an example of that today?
So a good example, I think, is I sat down with a young lady one time, and she was so mad at God. Mm-hmm. And she started telling me about her childhood, adolescence, early adulthood, and her experiences in the church, and the abuse she went through church leaders, all kinds of things like that. And she goes, and then people tell me just to let go and let God. I don't even know what the hell that means.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's Christian language for, you know, just trust God. And she goes, oh, no, I'll never trust him. And it just hit me. And I was like, it felt like the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart. And I was like, I don't blame you. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't trust God either if I were you. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, why shouldn't I trust God? And I was like, because the God you just described sucks. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me all of this, you know, that God does this, God does it. I'm like, I wouldn't trust him either. And so I was like, the God that you just described absolutely sucks. Mm-hmm. And I said, the good news for you is
that's not the biblical.
It's not the God of the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's the God of your experience. Mm-hmm. And so I challenged her to go read the Gospel of Mark. And she ended up getting saved by reading through the Gospel of Mark. Okay. And I told her, I said, you're going to get the things you don't understand. I don't care. The only thing I want you to do is look at the things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus did and see if that lines up with your idea of God. Because the Bible tells us we can look at Jesus and know who the Father is.
Yeah.
And so she did that. And the next time I saw her, she was a completely different person. And over a series of days, weeks, she ends up coming to the Lord by just seeing clearly who God is. But she had a mindset, truly, like you know, she had been told through her experience, God is this. But truly, I tell you, he's very different.
Yeah, amen.
And so that's one of my favorite examples of seeing a mind change, a healing process, amending that took place.
So I have a point to this question. Why is a connect group not a Bible study?
Well, because a Bible study, I mean, it's exactly what it says. It's studying the Bible. And again, if we just go back to gaining knowledge, then we're getting part of the equation.
Yeah.
But we're missing a big chunk of it. You know, we can get a biblical foundation. And unfortunately, a lot of our Christian higher education institutions focus simply on knowledge.
Yeah.
And where a Bible study falls short, and what I always wanted more for connect groups, was relationship. Mm-hmm. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. And that's so much bigger than just knowledge. Do we need to be in the Word? Yes. Mm-hmm. But it happens in community with relationship. And it's why I was connecting unbelievers to God and connecting believers to each other. so that they can be equipped. Mm-hmm. It's why we want people to come to what they think is church, a place, experience the power of God, and let us introduce you to the church, the people. Mm-hmm. Because, and here's the other thing with this, Jordan, is the church has so long depended on programs, but programs don't disciple people. People disciple people. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's got to be in some type of community mm-hmm. where it happens. It's relational. It's not functional. Mm-hmm. You know, people, we're not building assembly line people. We're not building trinkets.
Yeah.
We're not putting together motors. Mm-hmm. Like, this is life on life, relational stuff that only happens in community.
Right.
And so that's the difference, man. It's like a Bible study, you go to, you talk about God. It's not bad.
No.
It's just incomplete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's just not our strategy.
Yeah.
That's some of it. Is,
and like, I would argue it's not God's either.
Yeah. There you go. And I think if another church uses the like Bible study or Sunday school strategy, you just need a component that also includes the other aspects of equipment.
And it may, right? Yeah. And so I don't want to just say, like, if you call it a Bible study, then you're ungodly.
Right?
Like, everything that it could all be in there. Yeah. It's just the verbiage.
Yeah.
But we do need to make sure all those aspects are covered.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's the thing that, like, as I'm thinking about, and we're going to talk about this in another podcast as well, of like the one of the, I did not walk away from the small group that I was in when I was a non-believer, really fully, deeply understanding, maybe even barely understanding the book of Romans.
Yeah.
It was the avenue by which evangelism happened through transformational relationships.
Yes.
My life was transformed by seeing a life that I wasn't living and access to God that I didn't have and a joy and a peace and a certainty about who God was through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit I didn't have. And Connect Group allowed me to get connected to those relationships.
Right.
Not like I didn't, you know, I've still barely know what the book of Romans means, but that wasn't the point. It was just that it was the medium. It was the excuse for the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so to encourage our people, if you're serving, if you've not gotten plugged into a group, I hope you hear the heart of that.
Yeah.
Like, our hope is that you get plugged into transformational relationships. Yeah. That's like if you're serving, if you're new to Heart and Soul and you're just trying to figure out why do these groups matter, this is why. Like, if you have marriage struggles, one of the best things you could do for your marriage is get plugged into a Connect group. And by God's grace, look out for the couple that's like, you really respect their marriage and figure out how to follow God through their model of a marriage.
Yeah.
It's not go and just look for marriage tips. It's how do we together relate to God and let there be mending, restoring, practical training, a biblical foundation that's laid for God's design for marriage. I'm gonna be clear, is Connect Group is not the only place that happens. That's a lot of biblical counseling, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of like just worldview being mended and restored. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of that can happen in mentorship, but that's the strategy of the equipping area that we found to be successful is when we treat it like that, not like a Bible study, not like a right now media study, but like an actual, like seeing, because we want people to see not just your strengths, but also your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Like, people can connect with your weaknesses. And so when I stepped in, anything you want to say about that? No?
No, I think that, and because you mentioned this word a couple of times, you mentioned worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is a huge component of equipping and what Connect groups are able to help with, but what our goal should be with equipping is helping people come to a godly worldview.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about a worldview being how I see God, how I see myself, how I see others, and how I see the world. And those are the things that we really want to see people grow in.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, how do you see God? Do you see Him according to how he's revealed himself in the Bible. Number two, how do you see yourself? Do you see, like, is your self-awareness accurate according to Scripture? Like, are you self-aware from a standpoint of who you are in Christ, who he's made you to be, those types of things? Then are you aware, do you understand that you're called to be a part of the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you see others? Like, how does those relationships work? And then your purpose. And I think that, you know, why am I here? Mm-hmm. You know, you look at who am I, why am I here? The two questions most people wrestle with at some point in their life. Well, they're all answered in Scripture, and we fully develop those in community.
Yeah, that's good. So when I got hired on here, I was over this equipping area, and you spent a lot of time explaining these dimensions to me, and immediately went and started things that were almost exclusively to do with biblical foundation and knowledge-oriented. We did things like the Connection Equipping Academy, which was fun.
Yeah.
We morphed that into something a little bit closer to Close the Gap, which you did with some sessions of teaching through some of these things, especially worldview, people needing to know their story and how did I get here story. I just remember some of those being very powerful exercises. And then growth challenges again, which was a little closer to a little bit more relational, a little bit more conversational. And there was some fruit from a lot of those different things. One thing it revealed was who was hungry.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, after 4 or 5 years of working on it, I just came to a place of like, this all has to be fleshed out in small groups. This has to happen through connect groups, which is what you wanted me to do the whole time anyway. So I ran my head against the wall for enough time, but to see that like it needs to be fleshed out in small groups. And so it's just been a fun journey of discovering and seeing, you know, things that have been mended and restored in people's lives, a biblical foundation being laid. And I think there's still more pieces to the puzzle. We're always tinkering and refining, trying to get better. I don't really have a question or anything based off of that. But
I think one of the greatest observations you've made is that connect groups are the strength of our church, and connect group leaders are the strength of a connect group. And so when you think about that, if that's the truth, and I believe that, then where do we need to put emphasis? Mm-hmm. Connect group leaders.
Yep.
And to equip them to equip others.
Right.
And so I think we're growing in that. I think we've got some good things that the Lord's leading us to in that area for the future. And as our connect group leaders grow and are strengthened and are multiplied, our connect groups will be stronger, and the church will be stronger for it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. And in anything, if you do it God's way, it works.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
The problem is, like, we tried to do it our way for too long.
That's right. For sure. For sure. Well, I'm excited about the future. I wanted to just sort of dive into this concept of equipping and the equipping area, and so wanted to just kind of take a little bit of a stroll down memory lane. Yeah. I think there's a lot more for the future of that I'm excited about, of the natural conclusion of some of these leaders as they grow to maturity, as they are fully trained or as they are equipped, of what comes next. Yeah. And so but thank you for taking time to
This is great.
Yeah, to jump in with us today. And so we look forward to more conversations like this in the future. If you would help us spread the word and support the work of this podcast by clicking like, subscribing to the channel. We want to continue to reach more people with this conversation. And by reach, I just mean invite them to jump in and be a part of the conversation. If this has added any value to you or for you, and if you have a friend or somebody that would enjoy this type of conversation, and this would also give us the opportunity to serve with this conversation, if you wouldn't mind sharing it with them, that would help us out a whole lot. And we do this just to serve the local church and help the body of Christ multiply as a whole. If you're new in Heart and Soul, if you're new in serving in the life of our church, thank you so much for joining in with us. And we look forward to taking you even deeper and helping you also be equipped on your journey with Christ. We'll see you in the next episode.